The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And welcome to First Bite, our midweek Pride of Detroit podcast for all of your midweek needs. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor of Pride of Detroit. We are here. It is Super Bowl week. Happy Super Bowl week to everyone out there. Happy Super Bowl week to our co-host of First Bite, Ryan Matthews, at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how are we doing?
It's Super Bowl week, and the Lions aren't here again.
Thank you for that reminder. I hadn't remembered. I was expecting to tune in Sunday night and be like, hey, my Lions are on.
Hey, look, it's those guys.
Hey, we haven't seen them in a month. What are they up to? Hey.
Legitimately, though, all things are good. Thank you for asking. I'm excited to get into a little bit of Super Bowl preview.
Yes, and that's what we're going to do in this podcast. It's going to be almost exclusively Super Bowl stuff. So if you're looking for Lions stuff, probably not the podcast for you, but we're going to kick things off with the Lions stuff because we have to kick. We didn't have a First Bite last week. I know you guys have been itching for it. We need some Tua talk.
Tua talk! It's Tua talk time.
We really need a theme. If there's anyone out there that can create a theme, I don't care what you put it to. Like, if it takes Tua, do that. Sure. Do that. Do whatever you want. But we really need an intro theme for the next 2 months of Tua talk because it's going to become everyone's favorite segment if it isn't already. We're going to force it. Force feed you Tua talk.
We're going to force feed you to enjoy Tua talk. I love the idea of it takes to make a dream come true.
True what?
Oh God. Okay, it's getting worse. So let's get right into it. Okay, Tua talk for the week. Tua talk for the week.
Hit me.
Is once again centered on QB needy teams, and specifically, maybe not so tangentially related. Tua talk is directly dealing with the new report from Jay Glazer about Philip Rivers not coming back to Los Angeles to play for the Chargers. So what does it all mean? What does it all mean? And what it means is Tua. That's what it means. And that's why it's part of Tua talk this week. So are the Chargers now officially another team that can insert them into that spot at number three? Are the Chargers another team who are going to be QB needy enough? Do they want to move up and do they want to get the guy that they want? Because Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick. How do the rest of the teams view the rest of the quarterbacks? And I think it also comes down to free agency, but we're not quite there to free agency. And plus, the name of this segment isn't free agency talk. It's Tua talk.
Right.
So do we think the Los Angeles Chargers want Tua?
I mean, they certainly are in the quarterback market, and I don't think they're in a position where they're necessarily one, like, veteran, like, let's make one last run at Tom Brady and see what happens. Like, I don't think that's necessarily in their plans. I mean, this was a 5-11 team, and sure, they underperformed in terms of expectations, and they're probably a better team than the record showed, but, I mean, they need a young franchise quarterback. They need a guy for the future, not a guy for a one-year run. It doesn't make sense to do something like that. So, yeah, they're absolutely in the run for Tua or whatever quarterback they prefer that isn't Joe Burrow. The question, as it always has been, is like where do they trade up? Or do they trade up at all? Do they assume Tua or whoever they like lands down there at six? And that's the ultimate question. But I mean, the good news for Detroit is now there are certainly more quarterback hungry teams. And really, 5, 6, and 7, Miami, Chargers, Panthers might all be quarterback needy teams. And having those three that close together can only mean good things for the Lions.
It could only mean good things for the Lions. And the question I think that is most interesting is Phillip Rivers moved to Miami, question mark. So does this change their prospects? They turned their season around once they handed over the keys to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, I don't know how much better a aging Phillip Rivers is than Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point. I don't know if there's a ton of a difference between those two guys as quarterbacks, but I think that if the Chargers do covet a guy like Tua, or they want to get quote unquote their guy, they do have to jump the Miami Dolphins, because I think the Miami Dolphins are 100% taking a quarterback. I don't see how they go into next season with Josh Rosen. That clearly didn't work out. They went back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I see the Chargers, if they have to make a move, they have to get in front of the Dolphins at least. So whether or not that means move up to the Giants spot, or whether that moves all the way up to 3, depends on how much the Lions are asking for that pick. But would you be comfortable with the Lions moving back to 6 rather than 5?
I would. And we kind of discussed a scenario like this on the POD cast, where the Lions had a double trade down scenario where they traded down with Miami to 5 and then to 7 with the Panthers. And when you consider all the defensive prospects that are still probably going to be available there at 6, I mean, if the Lions trade down to 6, you have to imagine at least 2 quarterbacks are gone. Chase Young is gone. So that means they're going to, at the very worst, have their option of one of the following 3: Jeff Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, or Derek Brown. One of those 3 is guaranteed to be there. And that's a pretty good, that's not bad. And that's also assuming that 1, another quarterback doesn't go. 2, we're talking about no offensive tackles going, which I think an offensive tackle is likely to go in the top 6. So chances are good the Lions really have at least their chance out of 2 of those 3 there. And if you pick up an extra second or a second and a third along the way, yeah, do it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
might nix this entire segment just to get you to get back inside of your own pocket. I totally agree with you, though. I think the Lions, as a football team, they need to accumulate as many picks as they can within the top 100, because they have so many. Even if they don't have immediate needs, and even if we are to assume that they do like some of the players that are in the positions that they currently have them in, like Devin Kennard or even somebody like Rick Wagner. If we assume that to be true, it doesn't mean that this roster still doesn't need positional depth, and they need as many players as they can. And you can't always count on rookies to immediately make an impact. So I think no matter what, getting as many guys in the top 100 should be a point of emphasis for Bob Quinn and company. And that's why, I had an open thread question this week about how comfortable, or, how far is too far down?
Yeah.
Because I truly do think that the Lions need at least one impact player that's going to play a lot of snaps in 2020, whether or not that's Jeffrey Okuda, whether or not that's Derek Brown, whether or not that's Jerry Jeudy. I don't know, but they need a guy who's going to be on the field more often than not, and is going to be a player for them going into next season, because they do need that. They have the 3rd pick in the draft for a reason, right, Jeremy?
Yep.
Yeah.
They need some help.
And Tua is not it. And that is where we cut off Tua talk.
One more addendum to Tua talk. Guy in Miami thinks that the Lions are going to trade Matthew Stafford. And he said that's all the talk of the Senior Bowl, despite the fact that no one else at the Senior Bowl heard those same rumors at all. And no one else. If you put that news into context, it makes no sense.
Oh, okay. So that should be part of its own segment called Tua Rumors.
Tua Rumor? Yeah, I was going to try to connect those two words. It didn't work. All right.
Probably not.
Tua Talk is over. Cue the end theme. Ready? Drop it. We don't have one yet. Sorry. Let's talk Super Bowl. Super Bowl is a great week. I think we're very lucky in the matchup we got this year. I think in terms of ideal matchups, when the playoff brackets were out, this was near the top. I think maybe would you have preferred any other matchup? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if there's a better one out there.
I really would have liked to have seen the Saints get to the Super Bowl and Teddy Bridgewater be the quarterback.
Okay. All right.
Other than that, I am legitimately pretty excited with the matchup, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the Patriots aren't in it.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, the fact that we have two teams, I threw this out on Twitter, that I wouldn't mind winning, I feel like that's the first time that's happened in 20 years. Where I'm just like, oh, this team can win, I'll be happy. This team can win, I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing swaying me one way or the other is I'm already so tired of all the look at all these former Lions that are on the 49ers and about to win a Super Bowl articles.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
I'm good on that too, but I do like a lot of the guys on the 49ers. All right, so do you want to break down the game first, or do you want to do prop bets first? Because I want to tackle both.
Yeah, let's just talk about the game a little bit, and then we can get into our prop bets.
Okay, so we'll finish this segment off. Let's talk about when the Chiefs have the ball, and then when we come back after the break, we'll talk about when the 49ers have the ball and do some prop bets. Sound good?
Okay, yeah, that sounds great to me.
I know we have to start when the Chiefs having the ball first, because I will let you. You have the floor for 5 minutes to just talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so where do I start? Patrick Mahomes was born. I'm really excited to see Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl because, and this is this is really silly, but he's on the cover of Madden. And for so long, there had been a Madden curse. And he's a player who is in the Super Bowl, and he's on the cover of Madden. And I think that is just so cool. Like, it's a far cry from the times in which, you know, Michael Vick was on the cover and he breaks his leg in the preseason, or, you know, it's Eddie George and he fumbles in the playoff game.
You're tempting fate right now. I hope you know.
I know I am, but do you know if there's anybody who can surmount fate and change their own stars? It's Patrick Mahomes.
It's Kermit the Frog.
The thing about this Chiefs team, and the thing about what's going to make this game so interesting, is that this Chiefs offense can literally score whenever it wants to.
Mm-hmm.
On any single play, they have playmakers in place. They have Patrick Mahomes under center to make a play at any given time. And that's what's going to be so interesting about this game, because you can't really take your eyes off of the game, because at any moment, Tyreek Hill is going to catch a pass for 60 yards, or Travis Kelce is going to make a huge impact play, or, you know, somebody on that Chiefs offense is going to make a big play. It could be Sammy Watkins. They just have so many weapons. And Patrick Mahomes makes all that possible with that golden arm of his. So that's really one of the big draws, I think, for me for this game, because we'll come back. And like I said, or like you said, we'll talk about the 49ers offense and why it's just boring as all hell to me outside of one player. But at least the Chiefs offense, I think, just has the capability, and it has it just has this really magical allure to it with the way that it can score at any time. And it's an offense that I don't think I've been as like interested in as I have been in like years past, even the Rams from, you know, a season ago. Yeah. Well,
and I want to bring up that, because I feel like a lot of people, myself included, have kind of just thought about that game last year and how it compares to this year. And, you know, we all came in thinking, you know, Sean McVay is a genius. This is a Rams offense that like this Chiefs offense, unstoppable, can score at will. And then the Patriots hold them to, what, 9 points in the Super Bowl? And we're talking about a pretty damn good, you know, 49ers defense. This is the second pass defense offense versus the second pass DVOA in defense. Is there even a thought across your mind here that maybe this could potentially be a kind of a repeat of last year's Super Bowl in that essence?
Yeah, I mean, and I think you had mentioned this on Twitter at some point, or maybe you did it in Slack. All of it kind of bleeds together. But how upset are we going to be if we get another Super Bowl where the Lions were the blueprint to how to stop the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, the scenarios are perfect together, though, right? Because the Lions held the Rams in check, didn't win the game. They blew it at the end. Same thing happened with the Chiefs this year. So you kind of have to wonder. I mean, the big difference here is that the Lions implement a lot of man-to-man. And in that day, they didn't have to deal with Tyreek Hill. Their DBs were playing outstanding. The 49ers don't do that. The 49ers have their cover three. They don't like to play a lot of man-to-man. They will have to deal with Tyreek Hill. But they're certainly a lot better overall. I think That was definitely a tongue-in-cheek Twitter comment, because I don't think they're going to change their game plan that drastically. But at the same time, you never know, because having these 2 weeks between the last playoff game and the Super Bowl, teams really like to change things up quite a bit, and they have a lot of time to do so. So I don't think they make that drastic of a change, but in turn, I don't know. It's interesting to me how the parallels are set up to be there.
Yeah, and I think specifically what the Lions did that week against the Chiefs, you mentioned, you know, the way that they were able to play up and they were able to play man and kind of get into the receivers before they had a chance to use some of that speed and some of that separation to their advantage. The other thing was is that the Lions were able to generate some pressure for the first time, and they were able to generate pressure from the interior. And I think that and this isn't rocket science, but I think we found like what people found out from that game against the Chiefs, because there were subsequent weeks where Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs struggled a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you have to put pressure on the quarterback. You have to put pressure on the quarterback so he doesn't have, because Mahomes has that ability to get outside of the pocket and make plays and extend plays in a way that, you know, some other quarterbacks can't. And the thing that the Lions were able to do is they were able to keep constant pressure on him. And if you don't give those receivers opportunities to stretch the field down, you know, or have the receivers stretch downfield and have the quarterback be able to extend and make plays, and all of a sudden the Chiefs offense isn't so scary. And the 49ers sure do have a pass rush that is capable of doing that. When you think about the kind of guys they have, right? Fred Warner, Bosa, Armstead, they have the type of personnel to do that. But Patty Mahomes, if we're still talking about the Chiefs offense, 65% of his passes completed, 615 yards, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, his average yards per attempt is 11.1. His quarterback rating is 131.5. He's only been sacked twice through two games. I think the 49ers know what they need to do, and I think that there is some credence to the idea that maybe they might try to change some things up, just because whatever the teams did in previous weeks did not work against the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Titans.
Yeah, and the one last thing I want to bring up here, and it's kind of in favor of this crazy Chiefs offense, is that in the past this year, the one team that the 49ers seem to have struggled against are teams that have mobile quarterbacks. Some of their worst defensive games were against a guy like Kyler Murray, a guy like Russell Wilson, who they have to play twice a week. Even, you know, Lamar Jackson, they lost to the Ravens. That was one of the few games they lost this year. It's they're good at containing them from running the ball, but I think the problem is once they get out of that pocket, once, you know, the 49ers have a very aggressive defensive style, and so sometimes they could over pursue, and if they allow Patrick Mahomes to get out of the pocket, we all know that's where he's most dangerous. And I think there's a little bit of a vulnerability there, and we'll see if the 49ers defense can kind of compensate for some of that. We all know Richard Sherman is playing some of his best football somehow right now, despite him not being in Detroit. Sad. I think of all the matchups, this matchup, Mahomes versus the 49ers defense, is by far the marquee one, and by far the toughest one to predict too, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers offense, and then we are going to get to some of our favorite prop bets. We might get an alter ego cameo. We'll see. You'll have to just come back and see. We get back here on First Bite.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back with First Bite Super Bowl Preview Edition. What is this Super Bowl? It's Super Bowl Live, right? So LIV 54? I think it's Super Bowl 54. Probably should have looked that up beforehand.
I think you're right. Math checks out. Roman numerals check out.
Nailed it. We are back. We're previewing 49ers versus Chiefs. We just got done talking about the Chiefs offense versus 49ers defense. This segment, we're going to talk about the 49ers when they have the ball and then get to some fun prop bets at the end. So let's talk about the 49ers with the ball in their hands. This was a team that was very fun to watch last week or 2 weeks ago now against the Packers. Dominated them in every phase of the game. And really, the headline was that running game. And while it wasn't that explosive in the regular season, they've been rolling in the postseason with that running game. And that could really be the key again. I mean, this is where it gets fascinating, and maybe the 2 weeks benefits the Chiefs here and figure out a way to stop them, because the 49ers ran all over the Packers, who had a pretty poor run defense. Chiefs' run defense is even worse, 29th in DVOA. Are they going to just do the exact same thing this week?
It's possible. It's entirely possible. It's just, I truly think that this is going to be a high-scoring affair. Even though the 49ers are probably going to want to run the ball, they had not only one, not two, not three, but the Packers game was their fourth game of having 200-plus rushing yards in a game.
Yeah.
Which is quite impressive, if I might say. And then in addition to that, the previous 8 games prior to that, 100 yards or more each game. So this is a team that runs the football. They like to run the football. They have a, you know, a whole stable of backs when it comes to Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Breida. They have guys back there who can run the football and who can do it well.
Yeah.
And why stray away from that, especially when it's going to be one of the Chiefs, you know, weaknesses, so to speak. But that Chiefs defense did stand up pretty stout against Derrick Henry and that Titans rushing offense. So maybe they won't get too reliant upon it.
Yeah, and that's really an important data point to bring up, because sometimes the way people play in the postseason is very counter to how they played in the regular season. I do feel like early in that game, though, Derrick Henry did find a lot of success, and while his final stat line against the Chiefs was not that impressive, 19 carries for 69 yards, so 3.6 a carry and only one score, I do think the vulnerability is still there. The question is just whether... Again, that 2 weeks, it always gives you so much time to prepare to key in on what to stop. Will that be enough time for the Chiefs to figure out a way to do that? And will that be enough? Because honestly, I think people underrate Jimmy Garoppolo and this passing offense. I know you said earlier you think this offense is boring. It's not that good. I don't want to say you said it's not that good. You didn't say that, but. I don't know. I don't view it that way at all. I think this is a very exciting offense, and the way they use play action, the way they use their freaking fullback, like no one in the league uses.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's intuitive. It's cutting edge. And I think it has a chance to really keep up with the Chiefs in this game.
I think it's exciting from like a nerd's perspective. So that's fine.
Okay. So you're just calling me a nerd.
Oh, I forgot. You think it's exciting. Oh, yeah, that's right. So then, yeah, I guess
I'm calling my glasses.
But let's take a look at the numbers. 29.9 points per game in the regular season. Pretty impressive. That's the second most points for in the NFL. So, I mean, there are players who excite me. I am a big George Kittle fan. I think he's everything that Lions fans should hope that TJ Hockenson can be for years to come.
Sure.
I think where things get really exciting, though, is the 49ers defense. And we already talked about that a little bit, but they made that trade to get Emmanuel Sanders. And I think that that was maybe what, not necessarily what pushed them over, because I do think that their defense is such a big, big aspect. But getting a veteran receiver like Emmanuel Sanders, who is just so consistently good, I think they needed that presence, because they really didn't have that. They had a bunch of young guys. They had Marquise Goodwin.
Debo.
Yeah. And, you know, Debo Samuel, who is you know, having just a fine season so far.
Yeah.
But I think getting that veteran presence in the locker room, I think that made a big difference. And I think that that is something to definitely keep an eye on for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I think we also need to not completely underrate the Chiefs defense. While they're really bad at defending the run in the regular season, they made huge strides defending the pass. You know, they were sixth best pass defense in DVOA in 2019 during the regular season. And I think a lot of that goes to what the Lions are hoping, or Lions fans are hoping to do, and that's adding a pass rush. You know, Frank Clark was a big addition. He went out and said, the 49ers haven't seen a pass rusher like me before, which I would argue they see every day in practice. But it's certainly, I think, a reason why the Chiefs made it back to the AFC Championship this year, and certainly a reason why they finally made it to the Super Bowl. It should be a good matchup, but I feel like people are throwing around, or maybe they're not blatantly saying it, but throwing around the game manager type of label for Jimmy Garoppolo. If I'm not mistaken, I think he has one of the highest QBRs in passes of 15 yards or downfield. And that's with, you know, as we were just mentioning, not a very impressive group of receivers, at least not big name receivers. You know, there wasn't a receiver that had, there's only one receiver that had more than 600 yards this year, and that was Deebo Samuel. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly where I'm going with this. I think people are underrating both the Chiefs pass defense and the 49ers pass offense.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about Pro Football Reference is the nicknames that are on there. Jimmy Garoppolo, have you ever heard him called Prince Aladdin?
What? That sounds mildly racist.
It kind of does. It kind of does. But I don't think it's fair to throw the game manager label onto Jimmy Garoppolo. When I think of game managers, I think of Trent Dilfer.
Right, right.
Right? Like, I mean, if we're going to go all the way...
Except he doesn't manage it either.
No, the only thing he manages are the TVs in Hallis Hall. Nice. So...
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But, I mean, a speedy recovery to Mitchell Trubisky, because he had surgery on his torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. So
true.
A speedy recovery. Hope you're ready for week one.
Yes, please. Get the best rehab you can possible.
Possible. Exactly.
All right. Before we move on to prop bets, do you want to give a prediction? Do we want to do our first bite prediction type of thing, where we do the one thing we think we know? I feel like that's appropriate.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I think that's a good idea.
All right. What's the one thing you think you know about Super Bowl live?
One thing I think I know, and it's maybe a good segue into our prop bets, but I think that this is going to be reminiscent of the game that the 49ers had against the Saints in the regular season, where they ended up beating them on a final drive. They won 48-46. I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. I think it's going to be an exciting Super Bowl in the way that last year's Super Bowl was not.
Was a letdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little bit afraid of that, just because I feel I'm very hyped for the Super Bowl. It's one of the most interesting matchups that I've seen in a long time. It's two up and coming teams that are probably going to be here more than once. I feel like the 49ers and the Chiefs are built for long-term success, so this won't be the last we're hearing of either teams. It won't be, you know, a one and done type of situation like we may have seen with the Rams. But the one thing I think I know is that I'm just going to say, I think the 49ers win this game. Whenever it's like presented, and I know this is a very simplistic way to put this matchup, but like a very strong offense versus very strong defense, I tend to lean towards a defense. I really think defenses usually come out of that sort of battle on top. And I think the 49ers, even if they slip up defensively, they've got an offense that's potent enough to both keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline and keep up with him in a shootout. Like you said, they could win a 40-point game if they have to. So I just feel like the 49ers have more paths to success, whether it's I think they're more capable of slowing it down to a game that's only in the 20s, but I feel like if they have to speed it up, they can. So I don't know. I just feel like they're the more well-rounded team there.
I see your point, and I disagree with it.
Fair enough. Patty, all right, let's get to some prop bets.
All right,
Mahomes is. Do you want to start with some statistical ones, some like funny ones?
Let's start with some funny ones because this podcast always needs humor.
All right, let's just go to the halftime show. It's okay. J-Lo and Shakira. Will J-Lo show butt cleavage? Yes is plus 250, no is minus 400.
I'm going to say... I'm trying to bet with my heart, but I should be betting with my head. I don't know what this says. I'm going to say no. I don't think she shows any butt cleavage because I think that J-Lo at this point in her career is not selling sex. So I don't think that we're going to get any butt cleavage.
I think your rationale is completely misguided, but I think you're right.
Okay.
Will Jay-Z be shown at any point in the halftime show? Yes, plus 600, no, minus 1,500.
What's the line on who cares?
It's 1-1. You just get your money back.
I don't think they will show Jay-Z for a... I don't know. No, I don't think they're going to show Jay-Z because I don't think they even want to entertain the idea of having Colin Kaepernick be a part of this broadcast.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
all right. Speaking of which, there is a will the words Colin Kaepernick be said? Yes, plus 300, no, minus 500.
Oh my gosh. They should put no at minus a billion.
So yeah, you're saying jump all over that no.
Jump all over that no. Do you have a mortgage? Put it on no.
Here's a fun one. Will Darrell Revis tweet about Richard Sherman during the game? Yes, plus 200, minus 300.
Oh, that's good. I would. What is the yes?
Plus 200.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus
200. I think the answer is yes for sure as well.
Yeah, I like that. So it has to happen during the game. He doesn't have to like at his Twitter handle, does he? He just has to like mention him, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
What if it's not by name? What if it's by number? Like, yeah, number 25. That's what I thought.
That counts. Come on, that counts for sure.
I hope so.
If he gets burned once, he's absolutely jumping on Twitter, right?
You would have to think so. And there's just there's such a great possibility that he's going to get torched.
We'll see. I know Lions fans are all over hating on Richard Sherman right now because he said mean things about their team, but
I'm not a Lions fan, so
you're just taking over Chris's throne of not being a Lions fan.
Somebody has to plant that flag.
All right, I like this one. It's a cross sports bet. Which will be higher, Jimmy Garoppolo pass completions or Zion Williamson points plus rebounds versus the Rockets? Are you swept up in Zion mania right now?
I'm not crazy about Zion mania. I know. I don't know. Like right now, it's just a really weird state with the NBA. I think all of us are like at a point of grieving with the Kobe Bryant news. So sure. Basketball is just kind of taking a back seat to everything else just because however you feel about Kobe Bryant as a basketball player, as a human being, like he was just an icon. You know, he was a figure for that generation of basketball fans. And he was for me. And I mean, he was obviously a villain because of, you know, the series against the Pistons and, you know, the trade that he blocked when, you know, Joe Dumars had pursued him and everything. So Zion Williamson points and rebounds. That was a great segue, Ryan. Zion Williamson points and rebounds total. I'm going to say Jimmy Garoppolo has more pass completions.
That's interesting.
Cause I think it's going to be a shoot it out type of game.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. I feel like if the 49ers had their way though, he'd only attempt like 20 passes.
Oh, okay. But what if he completes like 19 of them? You're counting on Zion Williamson to,
I don't know. The ball was in your court figuratively there. Man, because I don't know anything about how Zion Williamson has played since he came back.
He had for reference, he had 14 points the other night.
And what? I imagine at least like 5 rebounds, right? Then?
So sure.
Right. Something around like that number, 19.
Yeah. So it's an interesting prop bet nonetheless, yeah. I think.
All right, I have to do this because of my brand. Will a flea flicker be attempted? Yes, +275. No, -450.
What do you think? I think you have to put the money on yes, just because it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen almost one trick play per game, I feel like, in the playoffs. And now having 2 weeks to implement at least one, something's going to happen. Whether it's a flea, I would hope it's not a flea flicker for the team that's doing it's sake, because it's a horrible play.
For the brand?
It's bad for the brand, but it's also bad for both these teams, I think, because it's a horrible play that doesn't succeed, especially against two really good pass defenses. So I think the answer is no. I hope the answer is no, but I would probably put money on the yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
All right, let's do one more. You want a more funny or more stats based?
Bring me some stats based.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go with, do you have a person? Let's hand you one. Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
Longest completion yardage.
What is
over under 44.5.
Over under 44.5. Over.
That's a long completion.
It is, but it's going to be over.
It's not. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
What's the line on the over?
It doesn't say. Over or under.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the over, just because the Chiefs had that, like, and here's the other thing too, like with prop bets and betting on the under, how lame. You're rooting against the Chiefs having a play of less than 44 yards.
That's true. But you're also you also want to be right.
Yeah, kind of. You kind of also just want to root to have fun. And also, scared money don't make money. So,
all right. Let's end this with MVP odds, because I feel like that's always a popular one to put on. I'll list the top. Let's go to the top 10-ish. So Mahomes is number one, +125. Garoppolo, +300. Raheem Mostert, +550. Kittle, +1,000. Damian Williams, +1,600. Travis Kelce, +1,800. Tyreek Hill, +1,800. Nick Bosa, +1,800. Richard Sherman, +3,300. And Deebo Samuel, +3,300.
Super Bowl MVP is always a tricky one.
Yeah. I'll throw these up here for you guys too.
Because I always think back to the Super Bowl, and I'm totally blanking on his name right now, but it was the defensive back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who won Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh.
Back in the early 2000s, because he had a couple of interceptions. I'm being a terrible.
Yeah, ball. Dexter Jackson.
Dexter Jackson. See, I thought it was Dexter Williams for some reason. Anyways, yeah. And I think Super Bowl MVP is just one of those, it's truly like a measurement of their impact on the game versus where, you know, typically like the MVP is always like, who's the best quarterback on the best team?
Right.
This game can truly, it can be anybody.
Right. But if it plays out the way you think it is, where it's a shootout, it's got to be the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, if it's a shootout, then it's got to be the quarterbacks. Unless, what if like George Kittle has 3 touchdown catches? How do you not give it to him?
Because you give it to Garoppolo for throwing 3 touchdown passes.
See, that's lame.
If Garoppolo throws 3 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions, then maybe you're right. But if he throws 3 interceptions, are they winning that game? Probably not.
Yeah, George Kittle at +1,000 is an interesting bet, but I don't think anybody's going to give him points for like, oh, he was such a good run blocker the entire game.
Yeah, you don't score a lot of MVP votes for pancakes.
Yeah, no, you should, though. I mean, pancakes are great. Who doesn't love
pancakes? Delicious. I'm more of a waffle guy, but they're delicious.
Ooh, me too. Me too.
All right, we're talking waffles. I think that means it's time to end. Ryan, I hope you have a great Super Bowl. I'm very excited about it. We managed to talk about the Super Bowl the entire time without talking about commercials, which I'm proud of.
Wow, I'm really proud of us. We're kind of like waffling out right now, right?
All right. Thanks for joining us. We will. Oh, couple announcements before we go. Podcast will be recorded Monday night. We're not going to do it during or after the Super Bowl this week. Also, there may be. Yes, thank you for showing people an M for Monday. I guess. Also, you may see another podcast or two on the feed this week. We have SB Nation Radio down in Miami for the Super Bowl, and they're scoring a whole bunch of interviews. So if they score any that they deem worthy of Lions fans wanting to listen to it, they're just going to throw it on our feed. So be on the lookout for that. Some good content down there.
Love that.
But other than that's it. That's our Super Bowl preview. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you eat some good food, make some fun prop bets, stiffer arm your own dog in the face so he doesn't bother you while you're trying to do an outro. And we'll see you Monday.
You did that magnificently.